Now, some of the biggest questions known to man are going to be asked again in a new series of events taking place at a church in Blackburn. Is there a life after death? Will Christ return? Is there a judgment day? And first off the block tonight, is there a God? Weighty and indeed very fundamental matters for Christian denominations, and attempting to guide the meetings at the Gospel Hall on New Wellington Street in Mill Hill is Evangelist Jack Hay, who's come all the way from Aberdeen to do just that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. They are weighty questions. You start tonight with probably the biggest of all, I suppose, really. And that is the question, is there a God? Are you certain we can answer that?
Well, I feel that as you look at creation all around us, it argues that there must have been a mastermind behind it all. It's too much to believe that the whole thing happened by chance. You know, I sometimes say that an explosion in a scrapyard never created a Rolls Royce. You know, as you look at that sleek limousine, you say, well, now there must have been a designer, there must have been manufacturers. In the same way, when you look at the intricate precision of creation, to me, it argues that there must have been a mastermind behind it all, and we call him God.
But you couldn't quantify who God is or what God is, could you? You just said there was a mastermind of some kind.
Well, when you think about the mastermind, you think of someone who must have thought the thing through. And I would judge that the evidence is that there is a God. And I suppose that there's maybe over 7 billion people in the world now, and the most of them have an instinct that there is a God out there, there is someone out there. I know there are many atheists, but they've got to work at it, and they suppress these thoughts that there is a creator out there. For example, one of your fellow broadcasters, John Humphreys, he has worked hard at trying to be an atheist, but he calls himself a failed atheist. You know, he's an agnostic, he's written a book on the subject, and he tries to show that, well, I would really love to be a full-blooded atheist, but I can't quite get there. You know, I think that's the case in many folks' lives. They've got to suppress the concept that there is a God.
Well, they would say to you that they're not suppressing anything, and that you are ignoring the blinding obvious from where they're sitting, and that there isn't a God.
Well, I know that they think that, but, you know, even the Bible that I'll be speaking about tomorrow night...
With respect, you can't prove differently to them, can you? You can't tell them for certain that they are wrong.
Well, it is true that God is invisible. I mean, the Bible says that he's the invisible God, and no one has seen God. But at the same time, we believe in many things that we don't see. You know, I've never seen electricity, but I see the evidence of it. I've never seen a man's personality, but I see the evidence of it. Now, in the same way, I've never seen God, but I judge that I've seen the evidence of God's handiwork all around me. You mentioned that I come from Scotland. It's a beautiful place in many places, and you see the evidence of God's handiwork there.
Well, yes, but you've not actually answered my question, have you, really? The question I'm asking you is that you say they're suppressing something, and I would say to you that they're saying, well, of course they don't believe a word that you're saying to them about that, but you can't prove conclusively that you're correct.
Well, I suppose you may feel that that is correct. I can't prove conclusively, and there comes the point where faith comes into play. The Bible says someone who comes to God must believe that he does exist and that he is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So there is a sense in which faith comes into it. And of course, that faith comes to the point where it accepts that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. And even many who do believe in God have maybe never arrived at that particular point. They've never come to understand that to have a right relationship with this God, they need Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. He said, I'm the way. No one comes to the Father but by me.
You quoted John Humphreys to me a moment or two ago. I heard another national broadcaster say not long ago, in fact, in the last couple of weeks or so, saying that basically there is a point of view that suggests that those people who believe in God are actually believing in the supernatural. What would you say to them?
Well, it is true that people who believe in God believe in the supernatural. There's no doubt about that. You know, and when you look around, as I say, you know, you can see evidence of the supernatural. There's a lot of things that happen that have no real explanation to them. And so, you know, many people believe in the supernatural, even although they may not have a proper concept of the true identity of God.
And you also, during the course of this week, and there's some tremendous topics to discuss. You're going to be talking about, is there life after death?
Yep.
Will Christ return? Is there a judgment day? You feel that there is not necessarily a solution to all of those, but you have an explanation for all of those, do you?
Well, all I'll be saying will be based on the teaching of the Bible. That is why one of the early topics is the Bible relevant? And I personally believe that the Bible is the inspired word of God. And really what I'll be setting out is the teaching of the Bible in regard to these things, life after death, the return of Christ, the judgment day. So it's really what the Bible says that I'll be trying to present. And then it's over to others to make up their own mind whether they're going to accept the teaching of the Bible.
I was going to say to you, a lot of people would say that the Bible is incredibly relevant to today's society. The essence of the Bible is, in other words, people should live their lives in a good and proper way, but they'd say that much of the factual extrapolation within the Bible isn't.
Well, you know, as you say, the Bible teaches that there is a moral code that we should follow. We do have a huge problem, though. We just don't have what it takes to obey the teaching of the Bible in every respect. And that is what the Word of God calls sin. It's falling short of the standard. That's why we need a Saviour. And the central message of the Bible is that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to atone for our sins. And because He died and rose again, we can have a right relationship with God. We can experience the forgiveness of sins. But it's through faith in Christ. It's not our own efforts, but rather through faith in Christ, we receive the forgiveness of sins. And when that happens, God gives a person His Holy Spirit, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, they can obey the teaching of the Bible. It's not so much their own effort.
And again, when we get to the latter part of it, that's stuff you simply cannot prove.
Well, I think that can be proved. You know, I've seen it in the lives of many people, perhaps people whose lives have been wrecked by an addiction possibly or something like that, and they've come to the point of trusting Christ, and there has been a revolution in their lives. Their lives have been transformed by the power of God, and that...
Well, no, their lives have been transformed, not necessarily by the power of God. That's what your atheists would say.
They would say that their lives are transformed by self-effort. Is that what you mean?
Well, they would simply say that they've seen what's around them and have changed their ways. You don't need to factor in God, they would say, to change your ways. You don't have to have a presence of God to look at your life and say, well, do you know, it's not the way I want to be. I'm going to do this, this and this. It doesn't have to be driven by God, does it?
Well, for the most part, you know, what you're telling me isn't true to life. You know, there's many people who would long to change their lifestyle, and yet they discover they just can't do it by self-effort or even by the help they might get from organisations around about them. And it's when they come to Christ that they do experience the transforming power that He can impart to them.
Okay, if people want to learn more of this, and as I say, there's a long list of questions, and you've heard the kind of discussion that Jack will be getting involved with. Where do people come to it? And what time do they come? It's the Gospel Hall at New Wellington Street at Blackburn, but when do they need to be there?
Well, it's 8 o'clock each evening, apart from next Sunday evening. It's a 4 o'clock meeting next Sunday because there's tea involved in it as well. People are invited to come for tea as well. But it's 8 o'clock and it will be 45 minutes on each occasion. So we start tonight and go through to Thursday this week and then Sunday to Thursday next week again.
And once again, if people want to go, it's the Gospel Hall.
Yes.
It's in New Wellington Street at Mill Hill in Blackburn. Thank you very much indeed for your time.
Thanks for the opportunity.
Well, you're very welcome.
Today.
Thank you. Bye-bye now. Half past 8 is the time. BBC Radio Lancashire.